Alright, hello and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And today we are once again returning to our episode-by-episode chronicle of Rescue Bots Academy. Today we're looking at episode...
Episode-by-episode.
Yes.
Since we're doing
two per episode.
Two episodes at a time.
Two for the price of one.
Because they're short.
Yes.
But wait, was this aired two episodes
they
together?
Were not.
Or
were they aired?
Well, in fact, this is the 13th episode, but it did not air until many months after the next episode.
Yeah, because I was trying to check, like, oh, am I actually watching the right episodes? And, like, Wikipedia lists a crazy order.
Yeah,
like, this was episode 36 or
yeah, we're going by
the
Transformers wiki here.
Yes, which the playlist that I found on YouTube has them in wiki order, fortunately. So,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, because they're on Transformers Kids,
Transformers
or
Junior.
As a brief aside on the subject of things airing in seemingly random orders, I have now witnessed. Every episode of Challenge of the GoBots.
Ooh. No.
And I have some ideas. I have some suggestions.
As one of those suggestions, don't watch Challenge of the GoBots?
I mean, a little bit, but I think there are a couple episodes. There is a Guardian Academy episode.
Uh-huh.
There's an episode called Guardian Academy.
Yeah, we should probably watch that.
Which I particularly enjoyed for having a character named Traitor, and you wouldn't believe what happens. Also, there is an episode called Destroy All Renegades that I think David especially would appreciate.
Is it written by Donald Glut?
It is.
Oh!
It absolutely 100% is.
If this was like a radio morning show, this is actually where I'd hit the reggaeton horns button.
Yeah.
Yes. That was one of those where it's like the writing credit comes up a second or two after the title, and it was like Shot and Chaser right there.
Yeah.
It's like, you'll never guess who wrote this one. So,
if we weren't continuing with Transformers, I would say we could probably do a good podcast on Don Glut episodes of every show he's ever made.
That would be amazing.
It would be fun. So many dinosaurs.
Yes.
All right, well, we would call it like a glut-un for punishment.
Oh my god. Yes.
But I'll first, I think we should probably figure out if it's glut or glut.
Yeah, that would be, I feel like Wikipedia
probably
has a pronunciation.
Glutes, I guess.
And also, we should watch that Spider-Man fan film he did in, like, the 60s.
Yes.
That's all on YouTube.
That would have to be, like, the start of it. That's, like, episode one.
Didn't he do two of those?
I don't know if he did. I know that he did one, and it's on YouTube. And then do we have to watch, like, those, like, Jungle Girl movies he did?
Yes. Absolutely.
At least a couple of them, because, well... There's one weird one where, like, a nerd gets sent back in time to cave girls, and then there's... Is there dinosaur stop motion?
There must be.
Or did they not afford that? Probably. We'd at least have to watch one.
Okay, well, you know.
But that does seg us into our first episode of today.
That's right. There are dinosaurs in it, but it was not written by Donald F. Glut. This is written by Jody Reynolds. Previously seen right here, writing World View. And this is Tyrannosaurus Wrecked.
Oh,
yeah, another
pun
title.
More puns and a surprising amount of continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, lots of continuity. Not even Rescue Bots continuity.
No. So World is...
We have a special guest star, and he is bringing all of his backstory.
That's right. Together, we'll give them the edge. Rescue Bots Academy. So yeah, we are Whirly's excited because Whirly's always excited, but also because the Academy is getting a new teacher.
Yeah, and it's amusing that, like, what is it, Heatwave tells them the new teacher, or are they discussing it with themselves?
They're discussing it with themselves.
Okay.
Because they just heard about it from Whirl.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, who could be the new teacher? Could it be Bumblebee? The title comes up underneath them. It's not Bumblebee.
It's not Bumblebee.
But Medix thinks it might be his Uncle Ratchet.
Okay, yeah, this.
Which everyone is as shocked. I mean, I guess as viewers, we are not as surprised at the idea that a character would have, like, some kind of legacy thing going on, but the other characters find this to be, like, you just dropped something about your Uncle Snoop Dogg.
Right.
And it's oh, Transformers relations, like, cousins, uncles, brothers.
I have so many questions.
Yes, there are so many questions, but at the same time, the character in a cartoon having an uncle from another show, it's like, oh, this is just DuckTales. It's a forever thing. It's always an uncle, never a father.
Medic's having, like, wacky adventures with his Uncle Ratchet and his giant medicine bin.
And his two brothers with funny names.
Yes.
Bad guys are always trying to steal his number one syringe.
Yee. You really gotta properly like deal with those.
I just had a thought and I answered it in my own head. I was like, oh, who's the Flint Heart Glomgold to Ratchet? Pharma.
Oh yes. No.
He already exists. Shit, I want that. Yeah.
And then is Grimlock his launch pad?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Maybe Bulkhead.
Somehow we need to get Jeffrey Combs to be recorded saying, curse me kilts. He doesn't have a Scottish accent or anything, he just says that.
Just in his normal accent.
Now I'm just trying to remember any time I've seen Jeffrey Combs do anything with an accent that wasn't, like, an English accent.
Nothing's springing to mind. He's usually just doing his Jeffrey Combs voice.
Yeah, Jeffrey Combs voice, or doing, Poe.
Oh, yeah, which I guess is, like, a Baltimore accent?
Yeah, which is sort of a weird accent. But yes, that's the only accent I can remember him actually doing.
Yeah,
I don't think he even really did accents on Star Trek.
No, he just kind of always sounds like he's. I mean, he's doing a bit of a voice when he's playing Brunt, the Ferengi. But I think that might just be because the Ferengi have weird teeth, and he's got like the dentures in his mouth.
Yeah, so he's gotta like talk around the weird fake teeth.
Yes,
it's so weird when an actor shows up on a talk show. And they had been doing an American accent in what you've seen them in, and it turns out they're from, like, New Zealand or something.
Secret British person.
I can't deal with that.
Well, when they have a good English accent. Like, Hugh Laurie, if you never saw him in Flying Laurie or anything before, and just knew him from House, it's like, wait, what?
Mostly this is just, I mean, it's in reference to whenever Tom Holland is in anything, but... More recently, in reference to the actress who plays Shauna on Yellow Jackets showing up on Stephen Colbert and being surprise New Zealander. I'm just like, I can't, my brain.
Well, the thing with the cast of Yellow Jackets is that I can't believe they have an actress named Sophie Thatcher, who is American. That's the most British name I've ever heard.
It is extremely American. Or British. It's a very British name.
Well, not every British person can do an accent. Like, I saw a clip of, I think it was like a pilot or something, with David Tennant doing an American accent, and it didn't work.
He's trying his best.
Well, the thing is, David Tennant is always, you always see him doing an accent because he's Scottish. But he's not Scottish in everything else.
But, like, when he was trying to do an American accent, like, the Scottish was straining to break free and succeeding.
Well, he's Scottish in DuckTales.
Well, this is true. Speaking of...
Wrap around anyway, back to cartoon.
Yeah, so, Ratchet is his uncle, and then he's apparently got a bunch of other relatives.
Oh, yes.
I have so many
specifically
so many questions.
Grand Aunt Apex, Grandpa yes. Torque Steer, uh-huh. Second Cousin Wrench.
Yes.
Did I forget one?
No, just those three. I like to think that his second cousin is just a wrench.
I have so many questions.
Well, Wrench is the only one that is, well, other than Ratchet, is a pre-existing Transformer name.
Yes. It's a Japanese mini-con.
Yeah.
See, like,
although, well,
the thing is,
is a thing, but
it's not even something that was just, like, slotted in later in the continuity, like Sparks or something. The concept of siblings was right there in 1984.
It's true.
And I still require additional explanation.
Yes.
I mean,
it's always been a little nebulous and sometimes contradictory and sometimes gross.
I mean, I am generally a fan of the concept, but still, I have questions.
Yes. But no, it's not them, it's not Bumblebee, it is indeed Grimlock. And not as you might think, even though that wouldn't be work with the continuity, your sort of like weird, like Cyberverse Grimlock. It is Grimlock for Robots in Disguise.
Yeah. Explicitly.
Yes.
Like, in addition to being played by great value Cary Payton.
Yes.
He is absolutely the same character.
Well, yeah, but his more of like a G1 Grimlock, well, versions of G1 Grimlock design, because he's not green anymore,
yes.
And he's very,
yes,
like classic Grimlock shaped instead of green and black.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really like those colors on Grimlock. It was nice to have Grimlock as a different color instead
yes.
of gray. I mean, Dinobot colors are fun.
That's because R.I.D. was a Sentai team.
Yes.
And he's talking about, even talked about fighting the time he fought Underbite and Scowl.
Yes. Hmm. Talks about how Underbite was a Chompazoid, and Scowl was a Dinobot who just wanted to smash things.
Oh, when he arrives, water shaking in a puddle.
Oh yeah, they're doing the Jurassic Park thing.
Yes.
Yes, the Jurassic, which made me realize how far we are from Jurassic Park, that a reference to that T-Rex stomp shaking water feels really dated now.
Oh god.
It's like Jurassic Park was 94, 93, something?
93.
And this came out in 2019. And now we're years past that.
The thing is, they just keep making Jurassic Park movies.
Yeah.
Well, they do. Yes. To limited success.
Right? They keep making money.
I guess.
The last one made $1 billion. People love
it
dinosaurs.
Did? Holy crap.
Yes.
The last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody even liked the last one.
No, but people just love dinosaurs. Remember. There's a new one coming out this year.
The last one I saw was the first one with, Star-Lord.
Chris Pratt? Yeah, that's Jurassic World.
Okay, I saw that one. There have been two since then?
Two since then. Yeah, there was a second trilogy.
Okay. I know the one after the one I saw, like, the trying to buy dinosaurs on the black market.
That's right.
What the fuck was the one after that, then?
That was Jurassic World Kingdom, where the dinosaurs are, like, out in the world.
Okay.
And it's actually about some bugs or something.
Oh.
Right.
What?
It was stupid.
Okay.
It's got a baby blue.
Yeah. So I really didn't miss nothing.
It's not great. I mean, they bring back, you know, pretty much everybody who's still alive from the first one.
Yeah, you get some Jeff Goldblum.
Hey, Jeff Goldblum's over.
They bring back the two kids.
Yeah.
Oh!
They had everything but a zombie Wayne Knight.
Oh, they should have had Wayne Knight's twin brother or something.
It's me, Ennis Nedry. Anyway, so yeah, he is explicitly Robots in Disguise Grimlock, and it's great. They really did capture his personality well with the script here.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad that they did not get actual Cary Payton, but they absolutely got a guy who sounded like him.
Yes.
Good enough. Yeah, I honestly, I think he might be the best voice in this cast. Well, who isn't the new Rescue Bot Kids?
It is Terrence Flint. Mostly, like, does commercials.
Oh. But, like, the first voice they had for new Optimus Prime was okay.
Yes.
Current voice.
Let's hope he doesn't appear too much.
Yeah. I've gotten used to the Heatwave voice, but he's not right. He's no Steve Bloom.
Anyway. Yeah, so everybody's very excited about Grimlock being here, except for Hoist. Yes. Hoist is very afraid of him.
Yeah, he is scared of Dinobots, which, I mean, yes. Fair. They're huge.
Now, I guess the question is, among Transformers, does that make you racist?
Yeah, that was my first reaction. Because, like, because we find out, yes, he is specifically afraid of Dinobots. That sounds racist.
That does seem a little racist. Hoist.
Like, although it did have me trying to figure out if there actually is a word for fear of dinosaurs.
I mean, I guess the thing is that's not going to come up a whole lot. Like, if you're afraid of dinosaurs, I have great news for you.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is an actual word that I'm not sure I could pronounce. Ornithoscalidophobia? Something like that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I guess you just stay away from museums and you're fine.
I don't know.
Museum Stevens...
Quick cursory look, it wasn't like afraid of dinosaur bones. It was afraid of the concept of real dinosaurs.
Oh.
So basically you're just fear of Jurassic Park.
I was going to say, basically. So you're just reasonable. You're just a reasonable person.
Yes.
Well, like most phobias. But yes, Hoist is not afraid of the concept of dinosaurs. He's specifically afraid of Dinobots.
Right.
Who are a... Not sure what terms for Transformers, because it keeps changing every once in a while. They're a type of Transformer Cybertroni. They're normal people.
They're just some guys.
So, yes, not that it's treated like that at all in the episode, but the concept sure as fuck sounds like racism.
I guess the question is it like a job or is it a race?
Or is it like an aesthetic... I mean, it doesn't seem to be an aesthetic choice from what we've seen in previous...
Not in this Robots in Disguise...
It's not like being afraid of goths.
No.
But on the other hand, you can, as we see on Rescue Bots, regular Transformers can just turn into dinosaurs when they feel like it.
Yeah, that complicates it even more.
That does make it...
Technically, Optimus is a Dinobot.
That does make it seem like an aesthetic choice at that point.
And certainly this episode is not treating it as if it's a race thing. It's just, everybody's afraid of something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they probably wouldn't do if it was, everybody's afraid of something. Whether it's, whether it's bugs or Chinese people.
Whether it's heights or those Mexicans.
I think it might have worked better if he was, like, afraid of beast alt modes?
I mean, that seems too complicated, though.
I mean, I guess that's harder to explain than just saying afraid of Dinobots.
Right.
And talking about them as if they exist as kaiju who wear buildings as shoes.
Mm.
But it's a weird train of thought.
Yeah, and he's just...
My eye went down.
Like, he accidentally knocks Wedge over, and he's just kind of destroying their gym with his clumsiness.
Yeah. Well, because he's also he's constantly in dinosaur mode.
Yes.
And he's, like, twice the height of Heatwave.
Uh-huh.
He's like, five times the size of these little guys.
He's talking about dealing with Insecticons.
He is large.
Yes. And Medics understands why he is a legend among both bots and cleaning staff.
Yeah, so after the first session training, whatever.
Yeah, Hoist doesn't show up.
Yeah, he doesn't show up for the second one outside. Yeah. It's like he's just cutting class. That's a word I was looking for.
So they come to this room, and he's covered with, like, spots, and he says he's got rust rot.
Which he totally did not make up, he would like you to know.
Yes, a disease I did not make up.
Yes, it's a faux pox.
Yes. So he goes to class, and he's talking about, yeah, the time he fought that that nasty chompazoid underbite. And then Hoist is hiding under the bleachers, looking for a tape measure, much like the one he's holding in his hand.
Yes. It handles his fear in an odd, but sort of realistic, but also hilarious way.
Yes.
And he's just trying to come up with excuses without saying what he's afraid of. And they're just silly, like holding the tape measure in his hand. Yes, I was looking for this. It's in your hand. Yes, I found it.
Fair.
But they finally say that, you know, you're afraid of Dinobots, but that's okay because everybody's afraid of something. Like how Whirl is afraid of spaghetti because it's like a million tiny snakes with tomatoes.
Which, that is more reasonable fear.
Also,
spaghetti is weird.
This is where we find out that Wedge is afraid of heights, and I unfortunately must like him now. So, R.I.P. me.
Well, it would have been interesting if that had come up in the Canyon episode.
New number one Wedge fan.
Yes.
Although he did, like, his solution was to dig down, not to go into the Canyon.
Mm. Yeah.
Although being afraid of food and being a Transformer must be convenient.
Yeah, that's not...
Like, it's not a serious problem.
No. It's not going to come up much.
No. It's an edge case.
And then, hey, Grimlock drops in, and it turns out he's afraid of something, too, because Mr. Pettypaws is there. Because,
what is it during the bleacher thing, or is it some point earlier? Heatwave is sort of spying on them. And they're, it's when they're talking about their fears. And when Hoist explains, like, his race is, his phobia.
Mm-hmm.
And then Heatwave's like, and walks away. And then we have...
Yeah, Mr. Pettypaws, who has somehow gotten to...
20 years old plus?
Well, he's not that much older, because Cody isn't like 35.
Well, no, but it felt like he was an old cat to begin with in the first series.
Mr. Pettypaws seems like the kind of cat who feels old at like 6 months.
Yeah, yes. Maybe. He's a big Persian or something.
Yeah. He's a big fluffy boy.
Yeah.
Of course, it's also possible that this is like Mr. Pettypaws the third.
Yes.
That is entirely possible.
Oh, yeah, somebody on the island. Mrs. Niederlander is cloning cats.
Oh, no.
She bakes bread, clones cats.
And, of course, as we all remember, Grimlock is afraid of cats.
Yeah.
Yes!
More!
Continuity!
Yeah.
Yay! It does seem like maybe they were doing some research and realized that Grimlock was afraid of cats, and they were like, hey, this could be a good...
Build an episode around
lesson
that.
Lesson episode about being scared of things.
Yes. And took a quick... And I guess Heatwave took a quick jaunt over to Griffin Rock to pick him up?
Yes, that's my idea. Like, it's not stated in the episode, and even at the end we don't see Heatwave again, but it feels really clear to me that Heatwave brought Mr. Pettypaws.
Oh.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, this kid is afraid of a Dinobot. How do I show him not to be afraid of Dinobot? Oh, the Dinobot is afraid of a tiny kitty.
Maybe Heatwave was secretly conferring with Bumblebee in the background. Mm. Like, hey, Bumblebee, what should we do about this? And Bumblebee is like, do you have access to a cat? And Heatwave was like, boy, do I.
Yes. Although, like, the corner of my brain that watches a lot of tokusatsu was afraid of this giant robot stomping around near a tiny kitty.
Yeah, I mean, fair. He's not gonna hurt the kitty. He's terrified.
No! I have just seen enough, like, old Super Sentai where there's an adorable little animal in an episode. And things happen.
No.
Not always.
Why?
But enough to make me leery.
Why are old tokusatsu so, like, brutal? Like, in Spider-Man 1, just, like, kids' parents were just dying left and right, and...
Oh, yeah! Uncle Ben's every other week.
It's just killing pets, and they're just... They're brutal.
Because they can
the Japanese hate their children, is what I have guessed. They want to traumatize them. They sell them toys that do not meet American safety standards. They just...
Okay, that is a problem. It's like, it's just like weird storytelling instincts. Like, oh, if we kill the animal, we raise the stakes. But that it was in children's television.
Yeah, it's for little it kids. Like, why? It's just,
introduce them young to the concept of death, I guess. I don't know. It's just weird that at some point it stopped. And I wonder why. Was there a parents' counselor or something in Japan?
They were like, could you stop doing that?
Things for stuff like that, like yelling at Go Nagai showing tits on television in anime.
But the boobs.
Yes. It's like about big the boobs, but
round
at what point
man
did we stop
boobs
being worried about a small puppy in an episode of, like, Super Sentai?
Maybe the people who watched those episodes as kids grew up to be adults. Ooh, who said, yeah, no, I hated that when I was a kid, and I'm not going to write it now.
But I will psychologically torture the characters. That's still cool.
Well, of course. Still gotta do something.
Although, admittedly, one of the main writers who does that is the son of one of the original writers of Sentai, or was it Kamen Rider?
Ooh.
I forget what Inoue's dad was. But he's a weird dude. And now his daughter's writing Sentai. It's a family tradition. Anyway.
Alright, and that now brings us to our next episode, and it's time to play the blame game.
Oh boy!
Oh, a game show! Yay!
An important lesson has been learned.
This first aired February 9th, 2019, written by Peter A. Dowling. And we open with, it's a bridge rescue. We got a guy trapped on top of a bridge, and specifically that guy is Tough Luck Chuck.
Yes. In a wig?
In a wig.
The wig is pretty great. I approve of the wig.
So they're attempting to, like, stabilize it with, like, glue, but it doesn't work.
I thought I got a glue gun that, like, it dissolves part of the bridge, but it sticks the robots to everything. It's almost a Rube Goldbergian set of chaos, but not quite. Of glue and flying boulders.
I have a distressing epoxy-related story in my life lately, but I will skip that and let people seek me out on social media to learn more of things that you should not use epoxy on.
And but Hotshot is really anxious to get this over with and go home, because they are then going to go on a field trip to see the Cube playoffs on Cybertron.
Cube?
Yeah.
Time for Cube.
But instead, he ends up arguing with Wedge, because that always happens.
Yes. Yep. That is what
and
they do.
Long story...
That is their way.
Long story short, Chuck is not rescued, and in fact gets glued to the ceiling.
Oops.
Oh, yes, when the simulation shut off, just glued to the dome.
You never see that on the holodeck.
No, thankfully?
Just the... I mean, I don't think you're shooting around, like, a lot of glue on the holodeck, for whatever reason.
There should be more glue. There should be more glue on the holodeck.
Just computer, run missions, run program, Spider-Man.
Actually, if they had, like, glue guns on each floor, that would help when the Borg shows up. Stick them to a wall.
Then they'd probably just, like, detach their feet and just, like, stomp around.
Stump up, stump up, and stump down. And then there's discussion, like, because the bots are blaming each other about, like, whose fault it was.
Of course.
And then Heatwave comes up with this stupid line. It's like, when you point a finger at someone, you're pointing three back at yourself, which is one of those stupid little idioms that's always annoyed me.
I hate business book talk. That's, I hate that whole, like, classification of... faux twee little... I hate it. I hate it.
It's one of those things that feels like it's supposed to be like...
I need you to think hard about who moved your cheese.
Yes. I had to read that book one time, and I have opinions. Like, 12 years later.
Oh, it's just one of those stupid things that feels like somebody was trying to come up with a Zen koan for business after reading some other book, and it's like, no, you're a moron. That doesn't make sense. Why?
It's a story about how to not question your betters.
So instead, everybody's doing chores, they're cleaning up, but Hotshot.
They all get assigned assignments, but then Heatwave's like, anytime something goes wrong, you're always at the center of it, Hotshot. So I'm giving you the most basic job that isn't interesting at all.
That's right. You're on monitor duty.
You get to be the chair guy.
You get the Martian Manhunter job.
They're like, somehow you're the biggest problem, Hotshot. So, let's put you in the middle of the problems.
You're the member of the Justice League. Nobody wants to write in this issue.
Oh, no.
You get to be Ned Leeds.
He could be the Aquaman.
If these were the New Mutants, you'd be Doug.
Oh, no. Poor Doug.
Well, that just means he's going to die.
R.I.P. Doug.
He got better. Oh. He died again, I think.
No, I think he's... Wait, is he Apocalypse now or something? Something's going on with Doug these days.
There's always something going on with Doug.
Well, I mean, the problem is he died because there was never anything going on with Doug.
No.
Like, every time they'd get a new artist on New Mutants, they'd ask the writer, can you kill Doug?
And she would be like, no, I love Doug. They'd be like, damn it.
Because he is the boring one. I mean, the best point was, like, when he was wearing Warlock as armor. Mm.
The best part was when he got a large wife.
Huh?
That was a recent story.
Yes.
Oh.
With his large wife. I love him and his large wife.
Okay.
It's the most Claremont thing to happen since the 80s.
A giant woman.
Yes.
I mean, she's not, like... You know, a giant man or anything. She's just like, I don't know, like 7 feet tall or something?
Yeah, probably around the 7 feet area.
Alright, that's good.
So they found like this whole other bunch of mutants on the island that split off from Krakoa, and he married one of them as part of a crossover.
Yes.
Oh, they actually gave him a good outfit now, I think, or recently. Oh. With a nice jacket.
Instead of just wearing his old New Mutants clothes around like a weirdo?
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's got monitor duty, and if anything actually happens, you can't actually do it. You have to call Boulder.
Yeah, don't try to deal with things yourself, Hotshot. So guess what's going to happen? Hotshot's going to try to deal with things himself.
Yep.
Hotshot's going to do the thing he was explicitly told not to.
Because indeed, it's time for Jerry, Griffin Rock's most hapless truck driver.
How does he still have his CDL?
Thankfully, his truck does not appear to be full of poison or explosives or exploding poison. This time, it's just a truck. But he did indeed crash into a tree.
Good job. Good job.
So Boulder's not answering his phone, so instead, Hotshot goes himself. And meanwhile, Whirl has... finally discovered that dusting does not in fact mean putting more dust thing on things, but in fact taking it off.
An important lesson has been learned.
Which is interesting, because dusting can also mean putting dust on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one
of those things.
Sometimes you have to dust something, and that means you put the dust on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's generally not, you know, dust of the normal composition.
Yeah, so Hotshot's trying to stop this tree from falling on a house, and so he's sort of, you know, talking Jerry through the rest. You say, you know, this is where I grab it, and then I have my teammates stabilize it, and oh no.
Oh, that's right, my teammates aren't actually here.
So luckily, you know, everybody sort of gets wind that Hotshot is indeed going off and screwing everything off up on his own.
All by himself.
So they all go and they rescue him.
Oh, yeah, and Jerry keeps calling him the wrong name.
Oh, like, right.
Hit Show and Hot Shoes.
Yes.
Hot Shoes.
Which, Hit Show actually almost is a decent Transformers name. Hot Shoes is not.
Also, I like the people in the house that Hotshot saved from the tree falling on it come out and give him some applause, and he appreciates that, and then he asks them to get a picture for him. Because his priorities are in absolutely the correct order.
And so, you know, they all go and help him, and this this house is not crushed by a tree.
This time.
And then, so, you know, they all go back, and Heatwave is there, and he's not thrilled.
No.
But this time, everybody takes responsibility, because there's no I in team, but there are three of them in responsibility.
There are three eyes in responsibility.
So Heatwave is all, well, listen, you guys, you know, you clearly suck less than you used to, so you've taken responsibility, and now once you finish your chores, we can indeed go to the cute game.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay, sport!
And all is well. This show is, I admit it, it's growing on me.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Oh, why? Why do I have a comment at the end that something about Yelp reviews for Chuck?
Oh, he said something about leave. They thanked him for something, and he suggested they leave a 5-star review.
Yes.
Oh, okay. It was Chuck saying something. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's malfunctioning.
Again. As is his way. As frequently occurs.
Mm.
But yeah, the fun little episodes. The Tyrannosaurus Rex episode was really good. Well,
yes.
It had continuity, it had Mr. Pettypaws, all kinds of fun. We get Grimlock back.
And the second one was also fun, you know. I appreciate that Hotshot is the worst, and the show certainly seems to realize that he is the worst.
Yes, the show understands this important conceit.
That Heatwave realizes he's the worst.
Yes.
But is still trying to work with him.
He's trying. He's trying his best to help this stupid child. This dumb, useless child who Optimus has decided is important somehow.
Or it was like, okay, you have to keep this idiot out of trouble and off Cybertron. Please watch him.
Please keep an eye on him.
All right. Well, that does it for us for this week of The Stasis Pod. We'll be back next week with more Rescue Boss action. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we are on Mastodon and Blue Sky, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is patreon.com/iconunderground. Every month we do a special episode just for the Patreon, and it's always something fun and sometimes something that is ties in some way to some current movie or show or news. Sometimes it's just a holiday thing, and sometimes it's just something for fun. For February, we decided, in honor of Bandai's announcement that they're going to be working with a Western studio to do a Western live-action Gundam movie, we remembered that time they tried to do that before, with what Rob described as the worst episode of Stargate, the movie G-Savior. So you can listen in to how G-Savior connects to Rescue Bots, not Academy, sadly, just regular Rescue Bots, and also why it was so ashamed to just say Gundam. Just say Gundam. It's a Gundam. It's on the cover. It says Gundam. So yes.
Oh yeah, I still have to edit that. Oops.
For as little as a dollar a month, you get access to those episodes. They are always a lot of fun. So that is patreon.com/iconunderground.
Okay. Alright, so that does it for us this week. We'll be back next week with two more Rescue Boss episodes as we meet the TX-3000 and also go on a big, small rescue. Until then, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
I'm sorry that I'm fiddling so much in the background tonight. Unfortunately, my office is full of distractions.